Yeah, boy, it is June 10th and it's episode 168. This is the Fantasy Football Auctioneer podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer podcast is the official podcast of the fantasyfootballauction.com, the only website dedicated to fantasy football auctions. Now, you're probably wondering where Bucks is to do this intro. Notice how I didn't do this, yeah, boy, the way he normally does, because I don't have that much energy. But him and Blister, they took a little road trip for work, so they left me in charge. So when they do that, I kind of, you know, try to bring in somebody smarter that they can offer some knowledge here. So this week I brought in Eric Ludwig. You can find him on Twitter at FF underscore gouge from the Fantasy Footballers. And he's joining us tonight. Eric, how's it going?
I'm great. How are you?
Awesome. Thanks, man. Glad to have you back. For any of you newer listeners, Eric's been on the show before. Super great follow on Twitter. One of the sharpest auction minds that we've come across in the Twitter sphere. But yeah, so he's going to get into some things that he's seeing. Eric's been doing some Draft Masters recently. I think off air he said he's this starting his fourth one, which is for the start of June. For those that don't know, that's pretty hardcore. So he'll probably get into that and talk about some of the things he's seeing and everything like that. So I guess to stay somewhat towards our host that's not here, I'll steal a page out of his book and ask you, Eric. So are you ready?
Absolutely. Let's go.
All right. It's cock the hammer. It's time for action. All right, so the first segment, we usually just do a couple questions here. We had some sent in from Twitter. We'll start with those. So, Eric, first question comes from Straight Cash Homie 12, and he asks, what's the preferred team-building strategy in two QB leagues, especially what differs maybe in a 10-team? He mentions he's in a 10-team league, and then he also throws out it's a half-point PPR. So How would you approach something like that, Eric?
Well, first thing is with the 10 team, I always think waiver wire, because obviously you're not going through that many players. There's going to be good things that pop up, maybe even like week one, but certainly as injuries come in. So let that be a friend to you, the waiver wire. Realize that that's going to kind of back you up with that. That being said, with a 2 QB, it seems like one of two things happens with 2 QB. Either the QBs aren't valued as highly as you would expect, and so you can get some pretty cheap quarterbacks that way. Or they're valued way more than you'd expect, in which case you kind of get priced out of it. So the tricky part is you don't really know what's going to happen. So especially with the 2 QB, I like to throw out somebody that I do like. I wouldn't mind drafting, but I wouldn't mind if they go somewhere else as well. So like some kind of middle quarterback, maybe like a Philip Rivers or Ben Roethlisberger or somebody like that, just to kind of like test out the market, see what's going on there. And if the market doesn't seem too hot for it, then actually grab them. And then I would right away nominate another quarterback, try to get another quarterback in there and just kind of knock that out. So I don't have to worry about quarterbacks. If it's if that Ben Roethlisberger, whoever it is, just gets too expensive, then kind of back off of nominating the quarterbacks. Let the draft go for a little bit until the spending slows down, and then go after those quarterbacks again. But you kind of have to be flexible with that. So I would actually go into it with at least two different plans. One for if you can grab one of those, you know, more expensive, either quarterbacks or wide receivers, running backs, whatever you're kind of going for. And one, if that market is really hot and things are going, it's too expensive, you know, shifting to some other kind of focus and maybe doing something more like having a bunch of wide receivers that you might find in the second or third round and making that kind of wide receiver core and just letting those Browns and Julio Jones, stuff like that, kind of run people out of money.
Oh, I love what you said there about, first of all, like coming up with two plans. That's something that we always like to talk about, is just having as many different plans as you can so that you can very easily jump from one to the other pretty seamlessly. You know what it's going to look like. You don't have to do a bunch of recalculating and things like that. So love that idea. And I think it's interesting you brought up that you're either going to pay a lot or it's going to go for less than what you think. And I think, if you're in a draft with like a lot of sharp fantasy football gamers, we'll say, guys that really prescribe maybe to late round QB, things like that, kind of those sharper drafters usually seem to prescribe to that a little bit more. So you can probably wait a little bit longer on QBs or expect them to be a little bit cheaper maybe, which is kind of hard though in a 2 QB league, because that can go out the window really quick if guys start getting a little bit antsy and jump the gun. So I was just going to mention, in a 2 QB league, I was going to get your thoughts on how do you, because we talked about this last pod anyway, how do you generally approach the types of quarterbacks you look to roster in a league like that? Like, are you trying to get one guy that you view is going to be, you know, a top five guy, top six guy, and then pair him with a cheaper kind of QB 15 type price range? Or are you just looking to go, you know, two guys from like your fifth tier QBs, something like the QB 15, QB 17, and kind of grab a third guy and stream all three of those guys? Like, how do you approach that in a 2 QB?
Yeah, with me, I would probably look to have the three or four quarterbacks. For one thing, you just don't know who's going to get hot one year, and we see it with Matt Ryan and Cam Newton. You just don't know who it's going to be. So if you get three or four guys, then you can kind of give yourself the best chance to get somebody that, for whatever reason, gets hot in a given year. The other good thing is kind of like what you mentioned there, you'd be able to stream it and kind of go matchup dependent. I generally in auctions, I've never gotten Aaron Rodgers or any of the more expensive quarterbacks. I always get like kind of the middle tier ones. And this year, I'm kind of seeing that actually, like Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, Drew Brees, they're falling quite a bit. So you should be able to get one of those without spending a lot.
Yeah, right on. Like, I think, you know, you said that some of these guys are falling. I think QB's as deep as ever. And I mean, if I could get, you know, Philip Rivers is like the 15th QB off the board in that price range. You know, I think with what, you know, a team like that looks to do this year, I think there's going to be a lot of values, I think, at the quarterback position this year. And I don't know if you see it the same way or not, but
Oh, definitely. And even kind of weird ones like Tyrod Taylor, he's almost like a
early
multi-dollar
season,
tech guy this year. And if he's a starter there, he's always fantasy gold. So it's really low risk there. So look for him. If you're kind of desperate for quarterback, it might be, who knows how the Browns shake out with the quarterback situation. But yeah, if he's starting, if he can get you 5 or 6 games, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's the thing, hey, like, I don't think he's probably going to make it much longer than that, but like you said, when he plays, especially with some of those weapons they got and, you know, his scrambling ability, like, he can pile up some fantasy points pretty quickly if given the opportunity. And, you know, maybe he does end up playing the full season, the Browns kind of surprise everybody and put together a few wins, but you know, but yeah, he's definitely a guy, I agree. I think as your third quarterback or something like that, for a guy that you can get probably for a buck, because everybody's probably going to want to pay up for Baker, but or I shouldn't say pay up, but he might be the guy that a lot of the people end up spending more money on. But yeah, totally. Try and find guys like that for sure. Okay, let's go to the next question here then, Eric. This one's from at Windy City Loyal. He asks, what are your thoughts on pairing a wide receiver one with his QB in a keeper league? And what kind of values would you place on each of those players?
I don't think you would give them any more value or less value. It's kind of way the auction kind of falls to you. That being said, pairing them, it's really good when it works really well. But I've seen a lot of teams that just like cruise an entire year and just destroy the league. They get to the playoffs, and if for some reason that QB has that team has a bad day, then they're out of the playoffs. I've seen that happen a couple times with teams. So I'd be careful about it. That being said, like it's a value proposition at that point. So if you can get good price on that wide receiver and a quarterback, there's no reason to avoid it.
Yeah, I agree. I like you mentioned this before when you're off air about auctions just being about value. And you know, if you're putting values on players, again, it comes down to value. It's always, is it a good price? And I agree with you. I've seen a lot of teams flop because that actual NFL team had one bad offensive game, and then all of a sudden two of your horses are just gonna straight up let you down. So I definitely tell people to, you know, don't overvalue guys just because you own that quarterback or that wide receiver and go out and feel like you need to buy that quarterback. Like, it's not, I don't think there's any correlation that you score more fantasy points because you own both of those players, at least over the course of an entire season. I mean, yes, you might get some big boom games, or but you might get those bust ones too. So to me, it's something that if the value is there, you take it, and if it's not, then you just move on to plan B. Anything else you want to add to that, or should we just move
No,
on to
it's
the
great.
next one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Last one. This is going to be more just your personal opinion here. So at CDN Vike fan asks, are you buying the Jerick McKinnon hype? And he added the hashtag follow the money. What are your thoughts on the Jet this year and my team, the 49ers?
Well, maybe I might be a little bit biased here. So I had McKinnon a couple years ago in my dynasty league. Then, he didn't really do anything, so got rid of him, and now he's, in his prime spot. So I definitely think he's got potential to put up some serious points along like the Devontae Freeman type role. But I don't know. I don't know if I completely trust the situation in San Francisco yet. So from a price standpoint, where he's coming in auctions, I haven't gotten him yet. That being said, I would, if his price falls, I wouldn't mind getting him either. But I think kind of one of the things that you might want to think about with him is, there's a certain strategy where you actually get a backfield. So get something like Freeman and Coleman, and you kind of pair them together because you might be able to get actually RB1 weeks out of both of them in a given week. Or if one goes down, then the other one's going to have a huge season type deal. And you can almost do that with San Francisco again, where you have him and Breida and pair those two. I don't think that'd be a bad strategy because Breida is going to be cheap. He's going to be like
That's what I
one
was going to
or two
say.
dollar guys. So, and McKinnon's really not that expensive either. So yeah, do I completely buy it? No, but at the same time, I'm not going to discount it. I think he could have a huge year.
So roughly, I don't know if you know off the top of your head, do you kind of have a value for where you see Jerick McKinnon currently going right now, just as a price?
I think he's in like that 20 to 25, and this is for like a $200 budget. 20 to $25 is pretty typical for him. He's kind of in that Joe Mixon place.
Well, that's not bad. Like, I mean, like to me, he has easy RB, RB1 upside, right? Like, and to get him at 20, $25, that seems relative. Like, it's a pretty good price, I think, for a guy like that. I mean, I'm assuming guys, I don't know, I could be wrong, but guys like Christian McCaffrey, probably Leonard Fournette, they're all going ahead of Jerick McKinnon in terms of value, I would think, right?
Oh yeah, they're going like mid 30s, upper 30s, somewhere in there.
So if those guys are all going mid 30s, like I feel like McKinnon has as much upside as either of those guys. Maybe his floor is a little bit lower, but yeah, I feel like if you're getting him for $10 cheaper, I'm surprised. I thought the hype would have been a little bit out of control already on him. Like I know in the couple dynasty leagues I'm in, if you want to try and trade for that guy right now, it feels like you got to give up like the 102 or something like that to get him. It's people are just going nuts, but
No,
that's
that's
good.
crazy. I
Maybe
think part of it is where his kind of ADP is kind of repressed a little bit. So he's normally not nominated very early on. So by the time he is nominated, a lot of people are kind of like starting to really look at budgets. So I think that's why he might not be going for that much, even though his ADP is shooting up in regular snake drafts.
Yeah, that's a good point too. I mean, running back, there's a perception that it is pretty deep. So if he's lumped in there with a lot of guys that, a lot of drafters have in the same tier of their, tier three, tier four of running backs, they might just be spending money elsewhere or not willing to pay up and hoping to get equal production from other players that they have in that same tier. So yeah, maybe that is why. I don't know. I'm surprised, but I'm actually hopeful as a Niners fan that maybe there's a chance I'll own him because I'll be honest, when he first went there, hearing all the things on Twitter and listening to a few podcasts and like I said, the dynasty leagues, I mean, I thought, oh my God, there's no chance I'll ever own McKinnon as a Niners fan at least. So thanks, Eric, you're making me feel good right now. That's awesome. All right. So that's about it for the questions. We'll kind of move on just because I got quite a few points here that I want to try to get through with Eric, and hopefully he can share his knowledge here that he's accumulated so far in this off season and to all you listeners and let you know what he's seeing and hopefully start helping you in any of the drafts that you're getting prepared for. So we might as well just dive in if you're ready, Eric. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so like we mentioned, you've been doing some Draft Master stuff, which is, I'll let you kind of explain to the listeners kind of what a Draft Master is in an auction format. But I guess the first thing is, Anything else other than like, what are you doing to get ready for those drafts? Or, because I'm sure you maybe got some home leagues and things like that that come up later on in the summer. Like, what are you doing other than that, or if anything, to, prepare for some of these later drafts? Or what's going on?
I love doing these just to kind of give me an idea from a price standpoint, what works. And plus, after these things, you can go back, look at other teams, say, wow, I really like their construction there. How much did they spend on running backs? How much they spend on wide receivers? Who'd they get? So you can look at all of that so that you have a pretty good plan by the time you go into the regular leagues. And these leagues are email auctions. Like, they take a long time. They take a few weeks to get through.
Oh yeah.
But it's kind of good. It kind of slows things down so you can really kind of digest all that information.
Right on. So like, are you trying to build your rankings tiers? Do you have like a spreadsheet or something that you're kind of trying to keep track of some auction values just so that into the next draft, some kind of aggregate or something where you expect to see this guy go and you can hopefully spot some values when guys are on the clock and people are putting in bids and things like that?
Yeah, it was well. The first couple is always a little bit tough because so much depends on when people get nominated. So from a trend standpoint, I think we're just finally starting to get there. You can see it for the guys that normally go in the first couple rounds. You can definitely see the trends. But as far as some of the other people, the pricing will vary so much just based on when they're nominated. But definitely trying to kind of take a look at that, look at the trends. Spot. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens with Edelman being suspended. Just what happens with the other wide receivers on New England, for example. So we'll see how
So,
that goes.
who do you think gets the uptick there? My money's on Chris Hogan, but I could be
I would
wrong.
say, yeah, I liked Chris Owen last year. He was doing pretty well until he got injured. So he was kind of one of my sleepers anyways this year. And now this kind of reaffirms that. But the other guy, Jordan Matthews there, he's still going pretty cheap. So it was actually funny because I was doing one of these auctions and got the news about Edelman. And I was like, oh man, Jordan Matthews. I get that guy, and he wasn't there to be nominated. I didn't realize. I said this is the fourth one that I'm doing now. I didn't realize I'd already drafted him. So I was like, all right, well, got that
Nice.
guy, and it was course like $1 or $2, something like that. So
For sure.
he could be huge there. I mean, in all likelihood, he's not that much of a season, but you never quite know what's going to come out of New England. So I like getting those cheap guys from New England.
Well, I mean, New England is the perfect spot to kind of reclaim a guy like that who showed flashes, maybe was misused a little bit in Philly, but I think New England's pretty good at finding a niche role for certain players, finding out what they're good at and exploiting that. And I think at least it seems like Jordan Matthews maybe is better suited to the slot. So, I mean, if the slot receivers in New England start getting hurt, then maybe this gets him on the field. And if, he gets on the field, maybe Bill Belichick's going to use guys that produce. And who knows? Like, somebody's got to catch some balls there, right? It can't just be all Gronk. Whether it's some of the running backs or Hogan, or maybe it's Malcolm Mitchell. Who knows? I don't know. I kind of doubt that, but somebody's got to do it, right? Like, they're not just going to run the ball.
But and that could happen too now. Now they got what like 20 running backs back there, so we'll see how that breaks down.
Yeah.
Good luck trying to figure that situation out.
I'm trying to stay away from it, honestly, but at least until we get a little bit more into training camp here, maybe Sony Michel will fumble a few times and Bill Belichick will throw him in the doghouse, and then we'll know it's safe to draft Rex. But
That's
yeah,
all it takes.
let's take those guys cheap, right? But anyway, so in these four drafts, any specific trends you're kind of seeing, like with certain players going higher than you think they should, or values that have surprised you that have been placed on certain players, anything like that?
Yeah, I think the big one is with quarterbacks. So the kind of surprise there is Deshaun Watson. He's been going for right at, if not exactly as much as Aaron Rodgers, and that's just crazy. First of all, I won't spend that much on a quarterback. I'll never draft Aaron Rodgers because he normally goes for about $20, $25, somewhere in there. But yeah, Deshaun Watson's been right with them, which is nuts because you have players like Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Cam Newton going for like 10 to 15. You might even be able to get one of those guys for less than 10. So it's just absolutely crazy to have Deshaun Watson going for that much. So he's actually kind of the first person I nominate now. Just like I said, I like to test the market, see what happens, just to see how
Sure.
people are battling the quarterbacks. So I'll probably keep that keep that value inflated because they nominate him, you know, normally the first round. But yeah, I just think it's crazy that he's going for that much when those other guys are going for a lot less. So and the other one is it's a strange year because you have so many running backs that do have that RB, that potential overall RB1. So everybody in the first round, even some of those second round running backs. So Gurley isn't as high as you might expect. I've seen in years past where the number one guy will go for close to $60, but yeah. Gurley, Bell, they're going for like 50 to 55, somewhere in there. So basically 25% of your budget. And let all those other running backs like the David Johnson, Zeke, Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt, Saquon Barkley, they're all going for 20 to 23%. So about like, you know, the $45 range. So there's just so much money that's going out the door right in that first round with running backs.
Wow. That's the thing. I think we're going to see something this year we haven't seen in a while. There's just so many top end running backs that a lot of fantasy gamers view as being potential RB1s in fantasy scoring. Like I don't remember when we've had, you know, a list six deep where you could maybe make the argument, or, you know, if you sat around with your draft, the argument probably could be made collectively on why these six or seven players could finish as the top fantasy scorer, where normally we're fighting over Le'Veon Bell or David Johnson and then kind of readjusting from there. And this year, like you said, if there's a guy in your draft that really likes Alvin Kamara, well, somebody's going after him. And then there's the Saquon Barkley hype and all this. And I mean, I think it's going to be a little bit nuts in terms of how much money you're going to potentially see get chucked out in that first round, because I have a feeling most of these guys get nominated in very close to that in that first round of nominations, correct?
And that's exactly what happens. And that's why the guys like Joe Mixon and McKinnon, stuff like that, end up being like $20,
$25. Yeah. Guys spend it and then they've got to save something for receivers, I guess. And there you go. Well, that's good. That's interesting in the Deshaun Watson thing too. I mean, I own Deshaun Watson in a dynasty league and, you know, I can't see, you know, obviously he was injured, but I can't see him replicating that stretch of games that of how he started last season, whether it's defenses will have tape now, straight up. I think some of those plays that were made were lucky a little bit too. I mean, you cannot throw 70-yard touchdowns just about every game to a receiver. Like that just doesn't happen. That's not sustainable. I don't understand. Either we're forgetting that as fantasy drafters, how he scored some of those points exactly, or we just don't care. And we're expecting like Bill O'Brien to be this next offensive guru that I don't know. I just don't see him pumping up a huge amount of fantasy points. I think he's going to be very solid because, you know, he can do a lot of things with his legs and that'll score you some points, but I don't know. I just think we got to pump the brakes a little bit. If we think he's going to be the QB1, there's a very good chance he's going to regress a little bit in terms of fantasy points per game, at least I think, but I don't know. Is that kind of what you're leaning towards, is why you like nominating him early?
Oh yeah, definitely. And you know, I wish I remember who it was on Twitter to give him credit, but they're showing his passing TD rate, and it was something like 9%. And normally elite quarterbacks are more like 6 to 7%, somewhere in there. It's completely unsustainable. There's no way he's going to be able to do that over a given year. So again, I think he's a solid quarterback, but I'm just not putting him up there with Aaron Rodgers nor close. And I'm not going to put him ahead of Cam Newton and Russell Wilson's guys that have been doing this for a few years now.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. That's exactly it too. Yeah. They're going to regress to that more like that 6% range. I love that number. I think I might've heard the same thing or read the same thing you did, because I've kind of made a mental note of that and tried to pay attention to that a little bit more this year, just to see who is poised for maybe a break to have an uptick or who's can regress. But anyway, so speaking of all that regression and the stuff from 2017, one of the things I wanted to ask you was, what did you learn from all of your drafts from last year that you feel like, you know what, I'm going to take that over into 2018 and roll that into my auction drafts this year?
I think one of the things is not getting stuck to any one strategy. So a few years ago, I was big into zero running back strategy, and it worked. The first year I did, it was great. I did awesome. But like the last couple of years, it's definitely not worked as well. So I kind of try to vary it a little bit, especially like doing these best balls and draft matches, trying some different strategies, different budget allocations, just to see kind of what works there. And plus just kind of like, you know, hedge the risk a little bit. So hopefully one of those will hit. If for some reason zero RB works this year, then I'll have a team that will probably do great. And if it doesn't work, I'll have teams that are run back heavy. So varying a little bit. The other one is for the leagues that are kind of week to week type thing is, you know, try and spend that money early. I really like the scrubs and studs or whatever you want to call it type strategy. Yeah. So basically I try to go broke first, especially like doing the 10 team leagues. Spend all that money, get those studs, and then just use the waiver wire to kind of make your team a little bit better through the year. I think it works great. I've been doing Yahoo leagues, is where I do most of my auctions, and that strategy seems to work great.
Yeah, I agree. I think especially in a 10-team league or something like that, you want those studs, and the waiver wire should be pretty plentiful at times with some pretty talented players if you're pretty active on there too in a 10-team league. So you shouldn't be scared of spending a lot of your money early there, because you know that you're going to be able to find a couple pretty serviceable players most likely throughout the season. That's a great point. So, I guess next question I was going to ask you was kind of, you know, how do you see yourself addressing the RB position this year? But, you know, you've talked about some RB zero and things like that. Do you think this could be the year that RB zero kind of comes back a little bit and gets some traction? Because you're right, last year for sure, somewhat maybe the year before that, RB zero took a couple shots, you know, and it didn't necessarily pan out when you had guys like, you know, Todd Gurley carrying most fantasy teams. And I think a lot of owners might be shying away from it this year, especially with all that top end talent. So do you think that this is a year where maybe you can kind of, like we like to say, zig when others are zagging and slide away from that top end running back and then try and just pile up a bunch of cheap running backs later?
The weird thing is I almost don't think that you have to do the zero running back option to get a really good wide receiver core. So there are so many running backs that have potential to be that, you know, overall like top five running backs, that somebody's going to make it. It's impossible that almost all these guys are going to get hurt. Like, I think, what was it, like 2015, where almost everybody got hurt like that. There's so many guys that's just not going to happen again. So there are going to be stud running backs that are going to win people leagues. So I don't think like we're going to have that big pendulum swing back to zero RB coming up anytime soon. The other problem is where in years past you'd be able to find guys like Theo Riddick and Chris Thompson, kind of running backs that will give you some standalone value and be pretty solid until you can get somebody on the waiver wire for the zero RB drafters. Don't really have those guys. It's not as clean cut this year. So by the way, those guys are still out there. But even then, Theo Riddick, I mean, look at that backfield. It's just a complete mess. Oh, Chris Thompson, how's he gonna do coming back from injury? Now they just drafted Geis. So that's a pretty crowded backfield too. So it's really hard to like figure out what these roles are.
Yeah, that was a thing. I know, like, that was a personal strategy kind of for me, at least in dynasty leagues, especially was to not try and be actively acquiring a lot of kind of middling running backs or even PPR backs until this NFL draft happened, to see where some of these what looked like pretty talented running backs landed, because some depth charts were set to be blown up with some of these guys landing. And, you know, like if you drafted Samaje Perine last year, for example, like you're probably pretty bummed out about this guy's, you know, going to Washington. And, you know, Carson in Seattle, if you had him, you might have been thinking, oh man, this is looking good. And then all of a sudden, boom, Rashad Penny goes there a little bit unexpectedly. And, you know, even a guy like Royce Freeman going into Denver probably crushes a lot of dreams for some Devontae Booker owners and things like that. So, yeah, I think that the RB landscape's definitely set for a shakeup here. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out a little bit. And you're right, I think with the depth of wide receiver, you don't necessarily like even some of the more high end options kind of, I think you're going to see those guys slide for values in a lot of cases. Maybe it's a guy like Julio Jones, who some people think, oh, he's getting older and whatever. Like, that guy could end up being a value in your draft, and you might get him for a lot less than you think you're going to, and you'll still end up with a pretty solid RB1. That's not a bad way to start your draft, probably, and you'll have a decent amount of scratch left to pick away at this, deep, at least what looks like a deep wide receiver position, and probably grab some pretty decent RB2, RB3 types. So yeah, I kind of agree. I don't know if you have to really go hardcore RB0 to get a pretty darn good roster. I was going to ask you something about how you like to vary. You mentioned kind of varying your rosters. Is that something, with all the leagues that you go in, you actively try and do, or is that just something that kind of tends to happen as auction values change over the summer, or you notice, man, I've got a lot of this player here. I can't take him if you see him coming up in a draft, and it looks like he could even be a little bit of a value. You still try and shy away from just to get some variance. Is that something you try to do roster construction wise?
Yeah, exactly. So I still tend to be pretty wide receiver heavy. I do about 50% of my budget is normally allocated to the wide receiver position, and I save a little bit of money with quarterbacks. I normally don't spend a whole lot, maybe like 10 to 12%. Like I said, I'll just look for the guys that fall, and especially being best ball and draft master, I'd
Yeah.
rather have just three solid quarterbacks and let them do the work than try to find that overall QB1 type person. So I'm perfectly comfortable getting three kind of middle type guys. 10 tight end is where I've really not been spending very much money at all. I just, especially being with early in the year, these guys tend to get injured a whole lot, and so I'm worried about like Gronk and Kelsey now, new quarterback. So how's that going to shake out? Zach Ertz, he's definitely had some problems staying healthy, so it's kind of early in the year for that. So I really haven't been spending much money there. And then running backs, I've been typically doing, it looks like about 25% of my budget, 25 to 30%. This draft I'm in right now, though, I've gotten a couple, I don't remember who it was, but I think it was Saquon Barkley and another, maybe Christian McCaffrey. So this is going to be much more running back heavy for this particular draft. So we'll see how that kind of shakes out.
Nice. Well, that's not a bad start. I mean, those draft masters are PPR, correct?
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, you might have two home run hitters there. That's not too bad. And you go wide receiver pretty hard after that. I'm sure you can you'll end up with a pretty decent looking roster for a good chunk of the year for sure, as long as obviously no one gets hurt and things like that, but that's a pretty damn good start.
Yep.
So are you noticing any areas or tiers, anything? Like you mentioned, tight end is a position you just kind of don't spend on, and I think that's going to be a common theme we're going to see with a lot of drafters this year. Just because after those top, three or four guys, it kind of looks to be a big muddled mess. So there's no point in necessarily paying up for any of those. If you can't get one of those top guys, and or maybe you don't want to spend that much, you can't afford one, then what's the point in paying, $15 for the tight end 5 on your rankings when the tight end 12 could get the same amount of points, probably falls somewhere into the same tier for a lot of people, and you can get them for $2. Like, are you seeing any things like that where there's considerable value in any of these auction drafts?
I love, especially with kind of my strategy where my team basically is wide receiver focused. Those guys that normally go in the maybe the late second to early third round, wide receivers, love those guys. So like the Keenan Allen, Doug Baldwin's, T.Y.
Oh, yeah.
Hilton, those types of guys are going super cheap. Especially there's always at
Oh.
least one or two of them that fall. So you can get some stud wide receivers, and you're not going to spend a whole lot on that.
Keenan Allen, could you imagine? Give me Keenan Allen as my wide receiver 3, like price wise. And like, oh my God. Even if you got all three of those guys, if you could get them all for fairly cheap, like, I agree. Those three names, I think maybe. I don't know. I could see Keenan Allen's value going up throughout the summer, but a guy like T.Y. Hilton, hopefully Andrew Luck comes back, but I think he's being kept down by that. And Doug Baldwin, just for whatever reason, doesn't seem to get much respect at all in the fantasy community, even though he's Russell Wilson's favorite target. And now Jimmy Graham's gone and things. There's just going to be a bunch of targets there. He's probably going to see more volume than he has the last few years. So Yeah. Oh,
Yeah,
I
or like
love hearing those three names like that. That
you can
actually
easily
makes me
get two of
excited.
those guys and then get somebody else, get either somebody's gonna fall, either OBJ or Julio Jones. One of them is gonna fall where you can afford to get three of those guys.
Just take the cheapest guy in that top tier wide receiver and then just start loading up on some of those. Oh my God. I'm just thinking about the options. Like, yeah, put Odell, Keenan, and Doug Baldwin, for example. Like, come on. That's that trio. How do you beat that? Especially in a best ball format. Like, oof, that'd be tough to beat. There's going to be some big games put up periodically through the year from those guys. Like, and if they ever do it all in 1 week, then good night, Irene. It's over.
Yep,
But
that's gonna those threes would probably cost you like $80 to $90 total. So you still have a little bit of money to get some, like if you want to get like a Chris Hogan, something like that, take a shot on somebody like that, you can do that.
awesome. So kind of to jump off of this from what you just talked about, and give us some names then. Are there any players you find yourself or you think, trying to project at least further into the summer that you just think, you know what, due to cost, you're going to be getting a large quantity of these guys. Give us some names of guys you like that you think are good values that you're going to
I
be buying.
mentioned it, Doug Baldwin for
Yep.
sure. I'm aiming
Yep.
for him. I don't actually think I've drafted him yet. It's kind of crazy. Because what ends up happening is that somebody like Julio Jones or OBJ kind of falls, and so I get a good deal on them.
Right.
The other one is Davante Adams, getting a ton of him. I really think that he's got a shot at overall wide receiver one. Jordy's not there, so I know that production's not going to go directly to Adams, but he's a good wide receiver. He's got Aaron Rodgers. That running game is a little bit suspect. The
Yeah.
defense isn't that great. Like all these great factors are kind of rolling into it. I think he's going to be huge this year. And he's already had back-to-back seasons with double-digit touchdowns.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Like, as long as Jimmy Graham, and I don't necessarily think he will, but doesn't come in and just become like this massive red zone target, kind of like he was in Seattle. If like Davante Adams should be catching a, for, like you said, double digit touchdowns should be no problem for him. And if for some reason Jimmy Graham gets hurt or just is washed, turns out, which isn't necessarily out of the range of outcomes, then Davante Adams could be a monster, like you said, especially like touchdown wise. I think for sure that he's in the talk to be leading the wide receiver position in terms of touchdowns scored for sure. And then hopefully some of that volume that's lost from Nelson and things like that can bump his yardage up a little bit. And like you said, there's a chance he could be the wide receiver one. I mean, he's got as good a shot as a lot of guys that you would mention that aren't, kind of, that are outside of OBJ or Antonio Brown and Hopkins, things like that, that we kind of always just say, yeah, those guys are going to be the number one. But I don't know. It could very easily be a guy like Adams. You're right. So that's good. Go get him for sure. And what's he typically going for? You got a kind of a ballpark?
Like 25 to 30, somewhere in there. So again, it depends on when he's nominated, but that's
Yeah.
probably what you're going to see.
Like, I feel like last year, kind of go back to 2017, there was a lot of guys like that too that I remember in drafts that I thought had really good chances of being wide receiver ones in fantasy that just kind of fell in drafts. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald is kind of, I think every year he's like the obvious guy that always seems to fall. And then, oh, there he is, wide receiver five. Like, oh, look at that. But there was quite a few guys last year that just kind of started to slide. Keenan Allen was a guy. Hopkins even oftentimes was sliding, and that you can scoop up as like the wide receiver 15 or something in your draft, wide receiver 16, and there it's almost looks like a given that they're going to smash that value in terms of fantasy production for what you just paid for them. So I don't know. Do you think that's going to be happening again this year?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you're definitely seeing it. So, I definitely think having that strong core wide receiver is going to be so important. And like I said, that's almost a good thing about having that many running backs that are kind of at that top tier. It kind of deflates everybody's prices. So it's not like you're going to have to spend $60 on an elite running back or anything like that. In fact, you can get probably like whoever fall, like the Leonard Fournette or whatever, whoever falls in the upper 30s is not that bad.
Right on. Okay, so let's just do a little thought exercise right now then. Based on all that, give me a rough like just for starters, for example, or something, like what's your roster construction or budget per position, kind of just real quick off the top of your head, that you think is going to net you a really, really competitive roster? Like, do you want that top end RB1 because you know that you're going to get these potential wide receiver ones at wide receiver two prices? Or like, how are you going to build this? Like right now, if you're going to go on a draft with one budget, what's the one way you want to shoot to build a team then?
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to avoid, you know, getting one of those first round running backs. So I wouldn't even mind going for the Gurley or Bell and stuff like that. But I want to wait for people like that until closer to season, just because that will completely destroy your team if they get hurt between now and then. So that strategy is probably going to change, where I'm probably not drafting them now. I'd be more than happy to do that when it comes like August timeframe. And the other, like I said, I want to load up on those wide receivers going in that second to third round. So probably starting with Davante Adams, kind of normally my first wide receiver, and then get like the whoever falls, Keenan Allen, Doug Baldwin. And then you mentioned Larry Fitzgerald. He's great too, because he's going for like $15, something like that. So, I mean, it's just so solid. You're going to have a really solid wide receiver core that way. Tight end, almost punting it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just a mess. Like you said, like past the top three is such a mess, just getting whoever's falling, whoever's really cheap. You can get Ben Watson for like a buck or two. He's back in New Orleans now. You know, people haven't really caught that quite yet.
Yeah, so I know.
See if he's super cheap, and see how that falls out. And the defense, that's another thing I've been seeing is Jacksonville Jaguars defense going for like $7. That's just ludicrous. I don't know why you'd spend more than maybe $3 on a defense. So
that's do that.
But whatever defense, either the LA teams, I think they're going to have fantastic defenses, but doing something like that, just getting a $3 defense, you don't need anything spectacular.
Here's something I was just thinking about. What do you think of this? You know, so you got these at running backs. Say you want David Johnson or Gurley or something like that. You're nominating and near the top of your first round. Do you throw out a guy like Saquon or Lev, hoping they kind of set the bar for price, and then you try and scoop up a guy like Gurley or David Johnson as they get nominated in the mid to late first, and then guys like Zeke and maybe Kamara kind of bring that price back up, like in that typical kind of like horseshoe, we call it, effect, where some of the guys in the middle of that tier, oftentimes you see their price drop down because guys are looking that, I know I want one of those guys, but look, there's four guys left. I can pass on him and I'll grab, you know, Zeke or something like that a little bit later when he's nominated, and I'm going to spend on Odell or something like that. Do you think something like that will work this year with that running back group?
I think no matter what, you're going to see those running backs be nominated fairly early on. Sure. So that being said, it seems like it's fairly consistent. They are spending about $52-$54 on Bell and Gurley, and then it's like $47-$48 somewhere in there for David Johnson and Zeke. So it's been really, really consistent with those guys. I don't think that you can do anything to kind of sway that either way. But
people are just going to pay because they just want them. Hey, there's not really tough to get any value, I guess, on those guys, or not, shouldn't say value, but value from what you're seeing. Like, they're not going to, one of those guys isn't going to sneak in and go for like $40 or something like that, because they kind of just slid under the radar and everybody's loading up on somebody else. Hey, it's just, they're too good. You can't do it with those guys, I guess, maybe, but.
Yep, can't hide away, and they'll be nominated early.
Okay, all right, well, you gave us some guys that you like. So other than, you know, Deshaun Watson, some of those type tight ends, Aaron Rodgers, who are a couple guys that you just probably are never going to own, whether it's their, you know, their current value is just too high, you could never stomach buying them at that price?
This pains me because I'm a Bills fan, but LeSean McCoy, there's no way that we've lost a couple of really solid guys on the offensive line. That offense really wasn't anything spectacular last year. There's the wide receivers are pretty terrible. So I just have very little hope for that offense. And LeSean McCoy, I think he's still fantastic, but he is getting a little bit older anyways. And I just, for where he's going, for what he's costing, there's no way I'm going to spend money on him. So. Kareem Hunt is another guy. There's something about it. I just don't trust the situation in Kansas City. Yep. Ware is back now. I think he's going to steal some carries. And now, you know, the change you got Mahomes is the quarterback, so we don't quite know how that's going to look. They got Sammy Watkins, so maybe just gonna be more pass centric. So there's other guys that I'd rather go for besides him, and I don't even mind Hunt that much. If he fell, I'd still get him, but with where I've been seeing him, I'm not gonna pay that. I'd rather get Fournette or Melvin Gordon, something like that.
Sure. My thing with Hunt is I don't trust Andy Reid to just feed him the ball. Like, I feel like Andy Reid is one of those coaches who, you know, he kind of understands maybe the importance of not just running a guy into the ground. And I don't know if Hunt is even capable of handling that type of workload, but I'm not shocked if they kind of split. I'm not saying it's going to be 50-50 or anything, but like you said, Spencer Ware, he's not terrible. We'll put it that way. Like, he's capable of handling a little bit of volume and doing some stuff with it. So I don't think he's just going to be forgotten about. And like you said, with Mahomes there too, I mean, I don't know how many passes is he willing to throw to the running back and things like that. Like, Alex Smith didn't mind dumping it off to Hunt and letting Hunt break a couple runs or a couple tackles. But I don't know if Mahomes, is he going to do that? Is he just going to look to sling it down the field? Or, you know, I'm not sure, just like you. So, yeah, he's a guy I'm a little bit hesitant on. Like, if he's going to go roughly the same price as a guy like Alvin Kamara or something like that, then I'm going to take Kamara all the time. And McCoy, I don't know. I'm sorry, Bills fan. But I don't know. Why don't they trade him? Doesn't that seem like the most logical thing, just to talk real football now? Like, you're right. I just think their offensive line is going to be rough. Their quarterback's going to be rough. Their wide receivers are not much there. Like, I feel bad for McCoy. He's on an island there, and I don't know. It might not be pretty for him.
It'd be nice for him if they did send him to a team that's going to compete. I think the Bills' defense is really solid, so they're not going to be completely bottom of the barrel, but that offense might be one of the worst offenses in the league this year.
Yeah, like, do you think he's going to even get volume? Like, I don't know. What are they going to do if they're losing all these games? And like you said, their defense should be decent. So, like, hopefully they're not getting completely destroyed and that changes everything. But, like, do you think his volume is just going to go down just from game script and stuff like that, or what?
I think his volume would be fine. I just don't think that he's going to be – I mostly worry about the offensive line. They're really good for him, and he was able to thrive in that. But I think it's going to be pretty miserable this year. So I think he's still going to get the volume. I just don't think – I don't see him scoring very much because the rest of the offense is terrible. Yeah. And I just don't think he's going to sit there and be able to sustain, 4.5 yards per carry.
Yeah, probably not a lot of red zone time with that offense, hey? Like, scoring touches, he's probably not getting it near the stripe too much. I just can't see them getting down there to put up points very often. So, that sucks for Shady, actually, because he's getting up there. It'd be nice to see him, get on a team that is capable of maybe using him to his full extent. And I don't know if the Bills are quite there yet, like you said. So, just wanted to touch back on some nomination stuff. You talked about kind of how you handle the start of the draft. Just for some of the listeners out there, I know end of the draft gets a little bit hectic for some people. What do you typically like to do later in the drafts that kind of, so you end up with a lot of your favorite sleepers or cheap players, whatever you want to call them? I mean, we all, have our list of guys, and everyone should have a list, I think, but of their favorite, buck or two guys. How do you try and ensure that you end up with a lot of those guys and you don't throw them out and maybe someone upbids you and you can't afford it now and then you lose those guys? What do you do?
Yeah, the big thing is kind of looking for the people that still have money, still building a team, and see what needs they have on their team. So if I know that somebody can outbid me and they're looking for wide receivers, I'm not going to throw my favorite wide receivers out there. I'll kind of go to running backs or do something a little bit different until they kind of spend down and kind of complete the roster a little bit more. That being said, just like what you said, though, having a huge list of, I call them $2 chucks. So these guys they can normally get for $2 or less, just this massive list of kind of like sleepers. And, you should be able to get some of those. And the other thing is paying attention to who's filled their roster. So like if a guy has 20, so like the draft masters are 24 deep. So if somebody has 23 people on their team and they nominate somebody, I'll still put a dollar bid if I like that player. I'll still put a dollar bid on their nomination just in case they fill their team before they get to their nomination. I'll be able to get their nomination for $1. So that's another kind of cheat there. So just because somebody else nominates someone first doesn't mean they shouldn't throw a little $1 bid in there. You might be able to get them after all. So.
Yeah, I like that. That's always nice when somebody nominates a guy that you really like and you know you got the money to get him and he doesn't. And you can say, yeah, I'll put a bid on that guy and it's over. And they're just doing the work for you, right?
Yep.
And also, $2 chucks. I love that. I might have to steal that. I jotted that down, actually. That is like the catchiest thing. Oh, if this was exactly. Like
just give me a little shout out. Give me a little credit for that one. Yeah.
Oh, every time I use it, I will be at @FFGouge_Gouge. That's his. But yeah, no, that's catchy. I like that. That's snazzy. All right. Well, I don't know, man. I think right now, the listeners, like, they should be pretty dialed in. You just told them what to do at the start of drafts, what to do at the end of drafts, who to target. What different positions, like how to handle those. So, I mean, great stuff, man. Good luck with the rest of your drafts and everything like that. And why don't you tell the listeners kind of what projects you're working on these days, where they can find you, all that kind of stuff. Go ahead and pump your tires here a little bit. And
there you go. I'm writing for the Fantasy Footballer. So I actually am be coming out with an auction article coming up soon, kind of comparing the values that I'm seeing in the drafts versus some of the rankings that the guys have. So, I'll put that out. Also, throughout the year, I do a weather article every single week. Just, you know, especially talking about the places where there's going to be lots of wind or, you know, rain, snow, whatever it is throughout the year. So definitely check that out too.
Perfect. Yeah. You need that stuff in season two just to try and give you that edge. And like I was saying, follow him on Twitter @FF_Gouge. Great follow. Loves sharing. He'll often, you know, share some of these values that he's seeing when he's doing these drafts and everything, which I find super helpful. Good little conversation. Like, I saw you tweeting there a couple of weeks ago about the Deshaun Watson thing, and it just, as I was reading it, it just kind of started sparking ideas into, like, oh, you know what, nomination strategies and things like that that I would want to incorporate when I start drafting. And good sense of, you know, what values are going for some of these guys and who's overhyped, maybe underhyped, whatever. So awesome. Check them out on Twitter. Like I said, it's always posting stuff like that. It gets you thinking a little bit, which is really awesome. All right. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Again, thanks, Eric, for coming on. It was a blast and some really awesome info. Like I said, he's grinding these drafts right now. Looking just like a deviant there, just draft an auction in early June and earlier. So he's putting in the time. So thanks again for coming on, Eric. Appreciate it. Keep up the hard work. I got none of my buddies here that I can say see you to, but yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks to you guys too. Love being on the show. Love what you guys do, because there really is not a lot of auction stuff out there.
No, there's not. Hey, like, that's, you know, it's something that it's definitely, I think, gaining in popularity. So that's why I said it's awesome to have a guy like you come on, you know, more than once, because you're stuck with it. You know, you're delving right into all this auction stuff kind of all the time. That's your thing too. And it's cool. We need more people like that. We've seen what's happened with Dynasty, you know, stuff on social media and, in the last, you know, 5 years even. So I think, I'm hoping auction's kind of coming up next and it gets off of just the one article that ESPN writes a year and things like that. So keep it up, like I said, and thanks again for coming on. All right. So we'll see the rest of you guys next week, and hopefully the two Shanes will be back and they survive their trip. But yeah, we'll talk to you later.